570 patches in a single Patch Tuesday. That's the number that defined this week. Not because it's a record, though it is, but because of what's behind it. AI is now discovering vulnerabilities faster than any enterprise on Earth can remediate them. And that's not a one-month anomaly. That's the new normal. Welcome to the week that broke your patch cadence.
Welcome to Clear Text. I'm Alex Chen alongside Jordan Reeves. This is your Saturday Week in Review for the week ending July 18th, 2026. If you couldn't keep up this week, here's what mattered and what it means. We've got four big themes to walk through. First, the vulnerability avalanche. Microsoft's record patch dump actively exploited 0 days in SonicWall and SharePoint, and what the Gold Eagle program signals about where this is all heading. Second, identity is officially the front door for ransomware, and the tools we thought were protecting it aren't. Third, law enforcement had a genuinely consequential week, from scattered spider sentencing to bulletproof hosting takedowns. And fourth, the geopolitical landscape got darker. Russian APTs borrowing criminal playbooks, Iran exploiting telecom protocols to locate soldiers, and AI lowering the bar for offensive operations. Let's get into it.
So let's start with the vulnerability story, because it touches everything else. Microsoft patched 570-plus CVEs on Tuesday. To put that in perspective, last month was already a record, and this nearly tripled it. 2 0-days under active exploitation, more than 60 rated critical. And Microsoft explicitly credited AI-assisted discovery for the surge. This isn't a blip. This is the leading edge of a structural shift in how vulnerabilities enter the ecosystem.
And here's the business problem. Every CISO I know has a patch cadence built around historical volume assumptions. You staff your vulnerability management team, you allocate maintenance windows, you negotiate downtime with business units, all based on a rough expectation of what's coming each month. When the number triples overnight, those assumptions collapse. You can't triple your patching capacity in a week. So now you're making harder triage decisions with less margin for error.
Which brings us to Gold Eagle. The White House announced this clearinghouse specifically designed to coordinate AI-discovered vulnerabilities, prioritize them, route them, accelerate patches. It's already receiving intelligence, but the implementation details are thin. How does a private sector CISO actually interface with this? What are the SLAs? Does prioritization guidance from Gold Eagle create a de facto compliance obligation? These are open questions, and they matter.
They matter a lot, because we also got two other critical vulnerabilities this week that illustrate the operational pain. SonicWall SMA-1000, 2 chained 0 days, 1 rated CVSS 10.0, actively exploited by the Inc. ransomware group. Exploitation started 3 weeks before SonicWall even disclosed. If you're manning SMA appliances, you were already compromised before you knew you were vulnerable.
And then SharePoint. CVE 2026-58644, CVSS 9.8, deserialization RCE, added to CISA's known exploited vulnerabilities catalog with a federal remediation deadline of July 19th, which is tomorrow. The full patch doesn't arrive until August, so CISA is telling federal agencies to fix something that doesn't have a complete fix yet. That means you're looking at workarounds, network segmentation, compensatory controls. It's ugly.
The through line here is inescapable. AI is accelerating vulnerability discovery. Vendors are shipping larger patch loads. Exploitation timelines are compressing, and remediation capacity hasn't scaled to match. This is a board-level resource conversation. If your vulnerability management program was adequately funded 6 months ago, it probably isn't now.
Let's pivot to identity, because the data that dropped this week was damning. Sophos published incident response analysis showing identity-based attacks, phishing, brute force, credential theft, have officially overtaken software exploits as the number one ransomware initial access vector. That's a definitive shift.
And the statistic that should keep every CISO up tonight. MFA was deployed in 97% of those credential-based ransomware cases. It failed in every single one. 97% deployment, 0% prevention. That is a fundamental indictment of how most organizations have implemented multi-factor authentication. We've been treating MFA as a checkbox. Push notifications, SMS codes, app-based approvals. The adversary has adapted to all of them.
The OAuth spoofing research on Entra ID makes this even worse. At least two threat actor groups are using a technique that validates stolen credentials against Microsoft Entra without generating a sign-in event. Your SIEM doesn't see it. Your UMBA doesn't flag it. The adversary confirms your credentials are valid, and your security operations center has no idea it happened. They then move to the next stage of the attack with a verified credential set, and you're still looking at a clean dashboard.
So what do you do? The answer is phishing-resistant MFA, FIDO2 hardware keys certificate-based authentication, and continuous access verification. Not just authentication at the gate, but ongoing validation of session integrity. This is expensive, it's operationally complex, and it's now clearly necessary. If you're going to your board this quarter, this is the conversation to have. The identity perimeter is where ransomware lives now, and our current defenses aren't working.
Let's talk about law enforcement, because this was actually a good week on that front. Two scattered spider leaders, Thaha Jabbar and Owen Flowers, barely out of their teens, sentenced to 66 months each at Woolwich Crown Court for the Transport for London hack. That attack took down 148 systems, forced 27,000 employees to do in-person password resets, cost £29 million. The NCA credited these sentences with disrupting broader scattered spider operations. U.S. authorities had previously linked Jabbar to 120-plus attacks.
This matters for CISOs beyond the headlines. First, it validates the UK-US law enforcement coordination model. When your legal and executive teams push back on engaging law enforcement during an incident, you now have a concrete example of that cooperation producing real consequences. Second, the deterrent signal to English-speaking cybercrime collectives is meaningful. These aren't untouchable operators in jurisdictions beyond reach. These are kids in the UK getting real prison time.
On the infrastructure side, DOJ unsealed the indictment of three Russian nationals running MediaLand and ML Cloud, bulletproof hosting providers that supported attacks across 21 U.S. states, over $62 million in victim losses. This targets a critical tier of the criminal supply chain. You take down the hosting layer, you degrade the reliability of attack infrastructure for every group that depended on it.
Now, will these operators be extradited from Russia? Almost certainly not. But the indictment has operational value. It constrains their movement, their financial access, their ability to operate openly, and it puts other infrastructure providers on notice.
Now let's get into the geopolitical picture, because this week was dense. CISA issued an advisory on Russian state-linked hackers compromising residential and Soho routers to build proxy infrastructure. This is the residential proxy problem at scale. They're blending malicious traffic with legitimate residential IP ranges, which defeats geoblocking, IP reputation scoring, and a lot of the heuristic models your SOC relies on.
If your remote access controls assume that a connection from a U.S. residential IP is probably a legitimate employee, that assumption is now directly challenged. This requires rethinking how you validate remote sessions, device posture, behavioral analysis, not just network origin.
Then we saw Russian APTs adopting ClickFix, a social engineering technique that was previously exclusive to financially motivated criminals. It tricks users into manually executing malicious commands by posing as a CAPTCHA or browser error fix. The fact that nation-state espionage groups are now borrowing from the criminal playbook tells you two things. The technique works, and the line between espionage and crime TTPs is effectively gone.
Which means your security awareness training needs to evolve. If you're still training employees on email phishing and suspicious attachments, you're fighting the last war. Browser-based social engineering, fake CAPTCHAs, clipboard hijacking, these are the current vectors.
The Iran story is in a different category entirely. Iranian government actors exploited SS7-class vulnerabilities in mobile networks to geolocate U.S. military personnel in the Middle East. This intelligence was used in the lead-up to and during active military engagements. This is cyber-enabling kinetic operations. People were physically targeted based on telecom exploitation.
For defense industrial-based CISOs and anyone in critical infrastructure adjacent to national security, this is a wake-up call on mobile device policies. SS7 vulnerabilities have been known for over a decade. They remain largely unpatched because telecom infrastructure modernization is slow and expensive. Your employees' phones are leaking location data to capable adversaries.
Two more stories to hit quickly on the AI threat evolution. Researchers demonstrated GPT-5.5 executing a full cyber attack chain, recon through exploitation, from a single natural language prompt. And slop squatting emerged as a real supply chain threat. AI coding assistants hallucinate package names, attackers register those names with malicious code, and developers install them trusting the AI's recommendation.
On the GPT-5.5 research, this is a board-level AI risk moment. The SANS Institute simultaneously flagged a major governance gap between frontline security teams and senior leadership on AI risk. If your board still thinks AI risk is theoretical, this research makes it concrete. On slop squatting, your software composition analysis tools weren't designed for this. You need to add validation steps for any AI-recommended dependencies. It's a process change, not a tool change.
Quickly on breaches, three significant ones. Coca-Cola's Fairlife subsidiary hit by ransomware, all U.S. dairy production halted, SEC 8K filed. Abbott Labs dealing with two simultaneous incidents, one in legacy systems inherited from a $21 billion acquisition, one in extortion claim on a customer portal. and EY breached through a third-party support ticketing system.
The Fairlife incident is the textbook OTIT convergence case, a billion-dollar subsidiary with physical production halted by ransomware, mandatory SEC disclosure within hours. The Abbott situation is the M&A cyber debt story. You acquire a company, you inherit its security posture, and legacy systems become your liability. And EY reminds us that Big Four firms, with all their resources, remain vulnerable through their vendor and support tiers.
Last one, 23andMe settled with 43 state attorneys general for $18 million over the 2023 genetic data breach with mandatory security control enhancements. The multi-state AG enforcement model is now firmly established as the regulatory mechanism for sensitive data breaches.
All right, let's step back. Jordan, what to find this week?
Acceleration. Everything is moving faster. AI is finding vulnerabilities faster than we can patch them. Adversaries are validating credentials in ways our detection can't see. Nation-states are borrowing criminal techniques because speed and scale matter more than sophistication. The clock speed of this industry just shifted, and most security programs are still operating at last year's tempo.
I agree. And I'd add convergence. Identity and ransomware converged. Identity is now the primary entry point. Cyber and kinetic operations converged in the Iran story. AI and vulnerability management converged in that 570 patch Tuesday. The boundaries we've been drawing between these domains are dissolving. For CISOs going into next week, three priorities. One, reassess your patch triage model. The old volume assumptions are gone. Two, audit your MFA deployment with brutal honesty. Three, review your M&A cyber due diligence program, because inherited technical debt is becoming one of the most predictable breach vectors we see.
And watch that SharePoint Zero Day. No full patch until August. If you're running SharePoint on-prem, your weekend just got shorter.
That's this week. The Daily Show returns Monday. Show notes and links to every story we covered are at cleartext.fm. Thanks for listening. Stay sharp out there.
See you Monday.